Hello and welcome back to the CASA Connection podcast, the podcast here that we produce at CASA of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties, CASA Shaw. I'm Jeff Warren, and I'm here with our executive director, Tracy Heisler. Tracy, first off, Happy New Year, and I hope you and yours had a great holiday season.
Thank you, Jeff. We did. We actually had a new grandbaby over the
holidays. Oh, nice.
Awesome.
What a gift.
Yeah, her name is Elowin, and they're calling her Winnie, and she's delightful.
Elowin. That reminds me of like, it reminds me of like a fantasy character's name. I think I'm remembering it from particular show.
You're thinking of
Lord of the Rings.
Eowyn.
Yes.
Elowin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
It's very close.
It's very close. Boy, that took me back to the Lord of the Rings. Wow. That was, Boy, that took me back in time there, folks. But as we start the new year here in 2024, and I do want to say first and foremost, I hope everybody enjoyed the last CASA Connection podcast of 2023, where we specifically talked about impact stories. And I thought it was a great way, Tracy, to end 2023 as we're shifting into 2024, because sometimes not all the stories are happy. It was great to have one of our super advocates, Dave, stop in right as we were talking
randomly
about his story. It was incredible. Yes. But it was a great way to end 2023 as we're heading into 2024 here.
I agree. And, you know, I was talking with a colleague of mine this morning, and we were talking about how excited we are for 2024.
Yeah.
So in our program, you know, if you've listened to the podcast at all, you know that we have made a hard pivot towards resources for families. One of the new initiatives that we just started here in January are baby boxes.
Yes.
Having basically, you're having a baby, here's a starter kit, you know, for new parents. We had one for each of our division offices, and they were scooped up in an hour.
It was incredible. It was on our Facebook page. And we had the post up, and then an hour later, it's like, okay, they're all gone now.
Yeah, and I'm really excited. Yes. And one of them messaged me and said, can I have 5 to 10? I was like, I have 3.
Yeah.
One for each of you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So if you want to support what we're doing, by all means, we have an Amazon,
a wish list, right?
Registry. Yeah. Baby registry.
Yep.
Or for Target. I think it's a Target registry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can go on to Target and find us and send things to us to make more baby boxes.
All right.
They were really a hot item.
Absolutely, so. They were. And if you want any more information on that, feel free to shoot us off an email, info@casashaw.org. Tracy gets those emails, and she'll be more than happy to get back to you on that particular subject. But you're right, Tracy, that our CASA program is moving into this transition more of a resource-based, I don't want to call it like a model necessarily, but it leads us to what the title of this particular podcast is, which is New Beginnings. 2024, it's a time of new beginnings for not only our CASA program, but for a lot of families and a lot of foster youth throughout our region that we serve in here in New Jersey and even beyond throughout the United States.
And you know, Jeff, those new beginnings, they extend to virtually every facet of what we do.
Yeah.
Because when kids enter into foster care, that's a new beginning. If they are reunified with their families, it's a new beginning for them. If they're adopted, again, every placement change, new school, new caregiver,
yeah,
they're new beginnings. And transitions can be really, really difficult, particularly for people who've experienced a lot of trauma,
yes,
have a lot of trust issues, and who need those components of trust and schedule of knowing what's coming.
Absolutely.
In order to thrive.
Yeah.
We've talked before about how we often see parents and kids self-sabotaging when there are new beginnings happening because they're sure that it's going to fail and they don't want to be blindsided. So
yeah,
they do it on their own time. So I thought it was a nice idea for us to talk about what new beginnings look like in the research.
Absolutely.
And maybe give some strategies to help advocates and supervisors listening, any caregivers to support kids in those new beginnings.
Absolutely. I know that you have a specific website that you have been looking at in particular where a lot of research has been done. Toward the end of our podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit more about transitions, and just to let you all know out there, you want to stick around for that for sure in terms of our conversation here. But Tracy, I know that you have been looking at some research concerning this particular subject matter. So I don't know if you want to get into that right now.
Yeah, you bet. But so I was looking at an article by Dr. Shay Bindliff, and this is from the American College of Emergency Physicians. And he was talking about transitions and new beginnings, that there are stages to these processes. So in stage one, it's important to realize that every new beginning starts with an ending.
Yes.
And when there's an ending, there can be grief.
Yep.
There can be loss. There can be sadness. There can be joy. There can be unreasonable euphoria.
All the feels.
Whatever it is, folks. For the kids, yeah. Recognize that letting go of the old thing can be really hard as you move into this new beginning.
Absolutely.
Phase two, he talks about, can be a time of emptiness, or he calls it a neutral zone, because the old thing is gone, but you don't really have a handle on the new thing yet. So we have to figure out what that means. What is that direction? What does that emotionality feel like when you have this loss and you're anticipating something new, but you don't know what that's going to look like yet?
Is that maybe more depression, possibly self-loathing within that area,
I think,
and within this
be.
Particular stage?
My guess is it's more fear.
More fear. Yeah, that makes sense.
Going into this stage. And then the phase three in this particular bit of research is the actual beginning. And it's important to recognize that there can be starts and stops in that. Because sometimes as humans, we take one step forward and two steps back. And it can take a little while to fully embrace and trust the process and put both feet on that path.
Yeah.
And sometimes people never do. They get these opportunities for new beginnings and don't fully embrace what that could be, what that could look like.
It's tough for people to understand how to do that, I think, especially folks that have never experienced something like that before. Like you said, it's something new. And how do you embrace something new if you don't necessarily know how to recognize it?
Right. And you don't trust that it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
So Dr. William Bridges had a checklist for people who were going into transitions in relationships.
Yep.
So some of his suggestions were to take your time. Don't rush. Arrange temporary structures to get through what you need to do for the right now until you figure out what's going to work. Don't act for the sake of acting, right?
Right.
Practice self-care. Take care of yourself in all the ways that you need to be okay. And it's important to talk to the others in the relationship about their perspective on the change. What are their expectations?
Yes.
When we have kids who are adopted or kids who move into a resource home, if there's not good communication and you have a child who is struggling with this transition, what happens? They end up the caseworker gets a call saying, this is not a good fit. You need to take them out. And it might be a good fit with some time, but trust needs to be built.
And it takes so much time. Mm-hmm. It does. It takes time to build trust. And I think people need to realize that a little bit more, because we live in such an instantaneous world these days here in 2024, as we're talking about new beginnings. It's tough to get that trust, like right off the bat at the snap of your fingers. It just isn't going to happen.
Agreed. And Dr. Bridges also recommends finding somebody to talk to process those feelings of loss and then those feelings of what's coming. And then the seventh step is thinking of transition as a process of leaving the status quo, living for a while in a timeout, and then coming back with an answer. And I really like that.
Yeah.
We had a case some time ago with an older youth whose mom could not care for him. He wanted to stay with his resource parents here in New Jersey. Mom wanted him placed with a relative who he didn't know out of state. And it took a long time for him to find his voice about what he wanted his new beginning to look like.
Yeah, yeah.
And helping him to be able to express what he wanted to the court was a really important part of his new beginning and his healing. Of what that was going to look like. So many of our parents and so many of our kids feel powerless. They feel victimized by circumstances.
Yes.
And I think helping people to be able to speak their truth, whatever that is,
right,
for them, and have trust in us as allies is a really big part of moving those transitions forward.
It absolutely is. And if you don't mind, Tracy, I'd like to get into the transitions aspect of this a little bit more, because children in foster care, as we're talking about here, they need time to adjust and facing so many challenges all at once, whether it's a new home, a new school, new friends. The loss of all that is familiar is just so scary, so overwhelming for children. And then usually once they, especially if they're in their first placement, you know, new problems may come up after, say, the first month or so. As children settle into their home, they may start feeling, you know, more comfortable, but usually those problems of behavior will then start to persist. At the end of the day, and I know this being a parent, you know this being a parent as well, that children crave routine and structure.
Absolutely.
They do. Yep. You know, all children do better when they know what to expect, and having that consistent routine during that transition can be extremely comforting to a child in foster care. So, I mean, you know, whether it's transitional objects that can help them out during this period of time, whether it be a favorite blanket or a stuffed animal, those things are so critical in terms of the transition process. And I think that's something that, as folks are listening to this particular episode, you got to keep that in mind. We all have to keep that in mind. So these transitional objects and the transition itself is just, we just have to encourage children as much as possible.
And I think we also need to be mindful of the need of kids, just like us as adults, to sometimes have mementos of the past life. It's not necessarily a clean sweep, new beginning.
Right, right.
I bet if you were to look in your house, you'd find all kinds of things that were reflective of maybe not the best time in your life, but things that you kept for a reason.
Absolutely.
And I think we need to respect that and honor that.
Yeah.
The kids.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a bin in my basement that has certain things of when I was growing up as a child. And, you know, I didn't have a horrible childhood by any stretch of the imagination. There were certainly challenges, like many folks have, but sometimes you look at those little trinkets here and there and it takes you back to a time. It takes you back to a place, whether it's in your bedroom, in your old kitchen or wherever. And you kind of just sit back and say, oh, I remember that time. And then the memories start coming back. So I completely understand what you're saying here.
Yeah, yes. But if a kid needs it, you know, I think we should respect that.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you want to get into in terms of, you know, the stops and starts of the transition process here as well?
I think the thing I just want to focus on as we close is the need for compassion and empathy.
Yes.
This is hard. It's hard stuff. And you don't know, none of us know really what our kids have been through.
Right.
We weren't there. And we don't know how it impacted them. And we need to be mindful that there are other feelings at play than the case plan. There can be guilt. There can be sadness. There can be a sense of responsibility for their family or their siblings that we just don't know and understand.
Yeah.
So even if the behavior looks bizarre to you, recognize that there's a reason that it's manifesting. You just don't know what that reason is.
Yes.
And that's when a good therapist, clinician is not only important, but necessary. And for the caregivers, the other people who are in that child's life, to give them some grace and give them some space to work these things out while you're building those new beginnings.
Patience. That's what it comes down to. Really coming down to patience and the empathy that you're talking about is so very critical. And it's something we're always going to be keeping in mind here at CASA. We're moving forward here as we start 2024. Great conversation, my friend.
Well, you know what? Can't think of a better way to start it off in 2024, new beginnings. And I'm excited about what we'll see in
Absolutely.
The year to come.
Absolutely.
Hope it's not the apocalypse, but something good.
Exactly. This 2024 year is going to be pretty interesting in a lot of different ways throughout the world here. So let's keep trucking along and doing what we can for foster youth, as we have been doing. I'm so proud of the program that we have built here. I'm so proud of the work that we're doing. And I think 2024 is going to be a really great year for the children we serve.
And really, I think that that's all any of us can do in a day-to-day is to make our little corner of the world the best that we can.
Absolutely. It's a great way to end this CASA Connection podcast episode. Subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Share it with your friends, your family, anybody in the community who you think would benefit from these very short conversations, short but valuable conversations that we are having. Head on over to our website, casashaw.org. You can find a lot of resources over there, a lot of interesting information. And if you want to get in touch with us, if you have a subject matter that you'd like for us to touch on here in 2024, reach out to us, info@casashaw.org. And we are on Facebook. Search us out there. It's facebook.com/casashaw. And we are on Instagram @casa_shaw. Tracy, that's about it right there in terms of the promo stuff. Do you have anything else for us before we head out?
No, only as you were talking, it got me thinking about the length that we purposefully make these podcast episodes. We try to keep them under 15 minutes because we are mindful of how busy everyone is.
Yes.
And we recognize that we can't plumb the depths of these in 15 minutes.
Right, right.
But do know that if there's anything that we can help with or if you have any specific guidance that you need, you can always reach out. We're happy to help in any way we can.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you on the next CASA Connection podcast. Take care.
Bye-bye.